Ed Morris is celebrating 75 years of excellence with massive savings. Hurry in for Labor Day special offers now through Monday, September 6th. Join the 1.75 million customers and counting who have been backed by Morris, where every new vehicle comes with their price protection promise. If you find a lower price, they'll beat it or refund you $7,500. Visit edmorris.com.
Coming to you from the middle of Cane's country, you're listening to the number one rated football podcast in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, la.
These are the Orange Bowl Boys.
Brought to you by Ed Morris. Join the 1.75 million people that have been backed by Morris. With the price protection promise, Ed Morris will match any competitor's price or refund you up to $7,500.
Here's Toast, Roman, and Scoop.
When we initially had the idea to do recap episodes, I don't know, man. That was fun yesterday. Good morning, everybody. It's Toast, Roman, and Scoop. What's up, boys?
Good morning.
It's the recap show.
God. Hey, we're back. We're back for the weekly recaps. Right?
Right.
Yeah. You guys doing okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Doing fine?
Here, I'll tell you how I'm doing. I drank that much whiskey during the game last night.
Oh, look at that.
Well, I will tell you this. I noticed. I saw that OBB account on tilt.
Shit was on fire.
And I decided to remove myself from the conversation. I said, that is somebody's drunk. Somebody has control of the account. And it's not me, so I'm going to not pay attention to it. But I will say this. In seeing the interactions and all that stuff, we clearly have some new listeners and some new followers for season 4 that we haven't had in the past. And this is what I ask of you guys and girls. Go listen to some of the previous shows. I'd say maybe go listen to some of last year's recap shows, so you can obtain some context for who we are, our belief in the program, and what we expect as lifelong fans. Because it'll save yourself some contrarian responses and some contention potentially, because some of you guys clearly no idea what we think or our opinions of what we do on a weekly basis. Now, that being said, I'd like to apologize to you guys. A sincere apology. Not you guys. I couldn't care about you two.
Oh, gotcha.
The listeners. Because I was disingenuous to you. Truly. I wasn't being honest. And I did it for you. I did it for the listeners. To be quite honest with you, I think your perception, and this is true, your perception of us being haters of the program bothered me. It got to me. You think we'd do this on a weekly basis if we didn't love the program? You think we would put the time and effort into making OBB Media what it is on a weekly basis if we didn't love this fucking program? We have families. We have high demanding careers. We don't have the time to do that, and we wouldn't do it. But we love the program. But that's my fault. It may be their fault, but that's my fault. I let you get to me. I wasn't being honest about what I know, about what I see, about what my opinion of what's going to happen truly is. I
brought you this anyways because it's delicious.
Copious amounts of time we spend doing this. We had no chance of winning that game yesterday, folks. If you heard the first thing I said after we cut off the recording last week, after I picked us to win, I said, we got no chance of winning this game. That was 30 seconds after I picked us to win the game. I blew smoke up your ass because I felt like I needed to. I felt like you needed me to blow smoke up your ass. But I promise you, I'm not going to do it anymore. I did it once. I've never held back in my opinion before. I did it once. Not doing it again. But after all that being said, this leads to my ultimate question. Are we allowed to chalk this up to being, it's Bama. We knew it was going to happen. We just didn't want to tell you because we didn't want to get lambasted like we always do because we're too realistic for you guys. When are we able to start to question the pattern of ineptitude on the big stage?
Today, right here, right now.
Where and when can we draw that line?
Right now. Listen. You have more to say? I'm sorry, Scoop.
Nope.
Okay. You're very well said. Very well said. Listen. One thing that defines being a fan or a fanatic about a team is that regardless of what happens, regardless of what has happened in the offseason or what has happened in the most recent past seasons, you as a fan or a fanatic are always going to look at the best possible outcome and be the most optimistically, you're just going to view everything through your lens like, hey, this is the year shit clicks for us. And that's just what you can do as a fan. And so listen, I'll admit that, last year, at the end of the season last year, I was pissed and I was negative, but then the offseason happens. Manny does his thing that he does every offseason. We get all excited. We get all happy. And yes, I'm a fan. I'm a fanatic. I drink the Kool-Aid and I start believing, well, maybe this is the year of clicks. Maybe this is the year of clicks. Maybe this is the year of clicks. Maybe you know what? Minnesota almost beat Ohio State. Tulane almost went ahead and beat Oklahoma. Why can't we play Alabama to a 10-point game? Why can't we show up and almost upset the world beaters? And so there you go, man. As a fan, you're always going to start fresh like that. And then you go ahead and you watch last night's game and you say, oh, so nothing's changed in 3 years. Nothing has changed since North Carolina. Nothing has changed since Clemson. The only big games this team gets up for are FSU and Florida. And that's because these kids don't need coaches to get up for those two games. Those two rivalry games, they're already up for because they've been playing those opposition kids for 20 years in peewees. But for a Clemson or a UNC, where the coaching staff has to get you up, has to make sure that you're ready, we fail miserably.
The big game issue that Scoop alluded to in his intro, very good job, buddy. What he alluded to is real. You know, the two teams that are the lead of college football that Miami's played within the last, I'd say, 5-6 years, Clemson and Alabama, you've lost 58-0, 42-17, 38-3 in an ACC championship game, and then you go ahead and you get blasted yesterday by Clemson. And you only really scored 17 points. Now, in Clemson last year, too, you scored one of those 7 points on a blocked field goal that we returned at the end of the half. So my thing, and obviously I fielded a lot of questions. I took over the OBB account, and I need to call out Rhett Lashley a little bit this morning because it's cute. Your offense is cute, buddy. And you're like, oh, this is coming from the guy. I don't want him fired. I still think he has a successful career ahead of him. And people are like, what job is – you guys realize there's 132 other like Division I programs out here that would be dying to have some kind of a semblance of an offense that are actually in a worse shape than us? I'm not saying that the guy was ever going to go ahead and parlay his job and be the next head coach for, like, you know, Auburn. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of jobs out there in mid-tier conferences that Rhett Lashley could be a head coach. So I'm not – don't fool yourself in thinking, you know, if he turns around and has a successful ACC gauntlet schedule and the offense does pretty well, which I think it will. But the reality is when you're on a big stage, bro, you're cute. That's what I'm going to call you. It's like Alabama looked at you and looked at your offense and was like, it's cute. This is a cute offense. It does nothing to scare us. Other than using tempo, it is nothing. It is nothing. Yesterday was a fast-paced Mark Richt offense. It was the same routine, repetitive plays, and I've put it on for years. I watched y'all last year. I watched every play, every snap. I go back and do film reviews. It was up-tempo Mark Richt, and where you failed miserably on your team, because Manny alluded to this, was third downs. And that's when it was a master class by Alabama on third down on offense, because their protection schemes were unbelievable. I'm going to put this out on X's and Row later today. It was unbelievable how well they had you scouted and how they snuffed out so many of your potential blitzes. And they had the most perfect play call, perfect protection, knew where your blitzes were coming from, had the perfect play dialed up. Meanwhile, Rhett Lashley, you fucking think that you could just put another handoff in a belly, third and five, third and seven. Your red zone's atrocious, bro. You need to be called out. Like that, your kids work that hard, and that's what you do. And that was the comparison for me. They have you snuffed out. They're a master class. Here's this guy with tempo on third and five, just thinks he's going to give it to the halfback and run right up the middle against Alabama. You, sir, need to be called out. That was dumbassery. Right? I don't even know if that's a word, but that's exactly what I thought over and over and over and over. You failed your kids miserably yesterday. You should be ashamed, because you've played the elite teams twice now, and you've managed to only score a touchdown in each game. You scored one touchdown against Alabama, and you scored one touchdown as an offense against Clemson. Everything else has been a debauchery, and you need to be called out.
Yeah, and it wasn't the fact that that it was just a you know, one time on third and seven.
Constantly.
It was multiple. Multiple. That's what I said. You're playing Alabama, right? I mean, we're being repetitive. Kind of beating a dead horse here. But some creativity would be welcomed. Because this isn't, you know, like you said, it was the fast-paced Richt offense, which is, I think we can beat the guys across from us. No, you can't. No, you can't. That's why we clamored for this offense, or a fast-paced, multiple offense that provides you mismatches between your offense and your defensive players, right? That's the only way that you can compete. You're not going to line up and beat these dudes one-on-one. Did you see them? That's what they do. This was like the Miami Hurricanes baseball team. You know how they have they have these exhibition games, right? Where you have the Miami Hurricanes baseball team, and it's almost season, and let's go play the Marlins. We're going to play the Marlins for an exhibition, just for fun. Just for fun. It's pros and not pros.
All right. So, before everyone loses their shit over this game, because
I want to talk about some positives. I'm not going to bash them. I do want to talk about some positives today.
Well, listen, I mean, I tweeted this out last night. You know, so you guys know, it was myself and Ro. I was the drunk one. Ro was the not drunk one. But I mentioned last night, like, listen, we all talked about it in the pregame. I think it was Scoop that said, this is a one-off, it's an exhibition, it's its own game, it doesn't matter. This is the most inconsequential game on our schedule for the season in terms of accomplishing something this year. It was the most meaningless game on the schedule. I understand it's the measuring stick. Correct. I understand it's going up against the powerhouse, the team that is now us. That, you know, we used to be them for, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Not anymore, but the reality is, we will all three of us, this team goes 10-2, beats UNC, and wins the division. We're all very happy, regardless of what happened in this game. So let's not just, I saw folks burning down the house last night on Twitter, let's not burn down the house yet. It sucked. It was not fun to watch. But this entire season, listen, we're going to know what this coaching staff is in about 3 months. We're going to know what this coaching staff is in 3 months. We will have a definitive answer on whether or not Manny is the guy in 3 months. So let's just let it happen. Let's just let it happen and see what happens.
I was thinking about something shortly after the loss. I was like, listen, I agree with you. The Alabama game was kind of in its own class. It was a measuring stick. You saw where you measured up. You didn't, right? As a staff, you had some player deficiencies. Alabama fully exploited that. You can't go in with any type of holes when you play Alabama. Miami still has some holes on its roster. Alabama took full advantage. But then I thought about this. Yes, it's an exhibition game. It's inconsequential to the grand scheme as long as Miami does what it's supposed to do. But I think it just added a weight. It added a weight. I didn't realize this at first, and it was a revelation to me. It added a weight to Manny Diaz because if you don't do what we just said, if you don't go ahead and beat North Carolina, if you don't win the Coastal Division, if you have some more perplexing losses in games where you should be winning, you're favored to win, and you lose, you pull a Miami, right? You do what you've been routinely doing for years. I think this Alabama loss creates more of a weighted effect, and it gives more credence to the fact that maybe you're a fraud because I can understand this. You run the table. Alabama's Alabama. You're not there left. Let's all the listeners from look at what happened in the national championship game last year. Look at what Alabama did to Ohio State. Now, Ohio State has a much more talented roster than us. I hate to remind fans of that as well. Alabama just does this thing.
Look what they did to Texas A&M opening game last year.
This is what they do. This is what they do. They are in a class by themselves. But the reality is that if you turn around and you do it, now you can look at Manny Diaz and say he can't win the Coastal Division. He can't get out of his own way within the conference. He's subject to bad losses, right? And he doesn't even come close to beating the big boys. You can market this if he goes ahead and runs the table and does well and has a great season because he's like, look, he got them to improve, right? But that loss put more of a weight for me on Manny Diaz.
Well, here's the thing. As a fan, you go ahead and look, and guess which head coach has more wins against a top 10 team than Manny Diaz does? Justin Fuentes now for Virginia Tech. I'd be like, here's the thing. We can't even sneak up and surprise. Like we can't even perform like that in a game like that. Like we can't even beat the fraudulent number 10 team or show up. Like that's the thing. Like we can't even do that.
Right. So I first of all, and we said, I believe we brought this up, I don't know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago. You want Manny to be successful. Everyone in this program needs to want Manny to win badly because you don't want to have to do this again. And plus, you probably listen to this show. You like this show. I'm not going through another, what do you call that, rebuilding? No, thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I got other shit to do. So you want Manny to win. My biggest concern is this, and somebody was tweeting last night. He interacts, and I can't remember his handle. I responded to him this morning. And he said, look, these kids fought. They fought yesterday. They were down 27-0. They came back. They were playing, you know, they played with heart. You could see it. The young guys were balling. Our boy, X, great catch. Nice touchdown. Well done. Here's the problem that I have. Here's the biggest issue I have. Whether it's UNC or Clemson or any of the other games that, you know, that they lost last year. Why is it that we always have to claw our way back into a game? Mm-hmm. That's my problem. My problem isn't the fact that they quit or they're not fighting or whatever. It's always the fact that they're down 17-0 early. They're down 27-0 yesterday. That game was stop it. They fought their way. Stop it. They are never in a position on a big stage or a mediocre stage where they're the ones that come out hot, firing on all cylinders, up 17-0, put the pressure on. Like, there was one game they did that last year.
Notre Dame's the last time that happened.
No, they did it last year to FSU. But well, that's
yeah,
it.
Right, yeah, yeah, FSU, yes, yes.
Right? 100%. They did it to FSU last year. But other than that, they always have to claw their way back into it, which means that they're flat. They're uninspired when that first ball is kicked off. And that's what I don't understand. It's a trend. It's a repetitive issue. And I don't get it.
I have a theory. Watching them coach that game yesterday, they got a shit ton of ego, man, and it's killing them. You literally thought with your ego you were going to line up and run those style of plays and Alabama was just going to let you run for 3rd and 4 and just get a first down. You thought if you could just handle your business, block what you're supposed to, you're going to run your base plays and move. Manny Diaz, you thought by just going ahead and getting a creative blitz package on 3rd down that they were – it was ego. Like, we're an aggressive style team and we like to go tempo. You don't adapt. You don't adapt. This is the second big game that I can recall where you're playing elite teams in 2 years and you're getting bamboozled because you have ego. You have too much ego. Put it to bed. Somebody asked me a question. It was actually Island Canes on Twitter. I was going to respond to it, but I'm responding to it here. He goes, do you think we're going to borrow things from Alabama? Hell no. That's not what this team's done. That's not what this team's done for years. You think Mark Richt looked at somebody on the other side of the offensive aisle and was like, hey, guess what? That looks good. Alabama did some really good things. We should steal some of that. Hell no. You know what they're going to do next week against App State on offense? Zero. Zero change. They're going to run the same things. They're going to run the same plays because all we needed to do, man, was execute. If you buy into the vision, we can move this forward, man. Just buy into the vision. Bullshit. All you had to do was just, like, come in with a better game plan. It was horrible. I know they're bigger than you. I know they're faster than you. I know they're going to punch you in the mouth. I know they're the Mike Tyson of our generation. But holy shit, you don't stand in front of Mike Tyson and let him punch you. Because that's what that's what Rhett Lashley tried to do. Here, Mike, punch me in the face.
That's what he said. You're not going to beat that dude across from you.
And this is the game plan. And this is the game plan.
Right.
And this is what we did. And yeah. I'm like, come on, man. These kids work hard. You want it? So this is the answer. Real quick, Toast, and I'm done. You want to know why they came out flat? Because when they start the game and 5 minutes in, you don't think the player sensed that? You don't think that they said, like, holy cow, we just got murdered on that play. And what did Coach do on the next 3rd down? He called it again, and he called it again. What do you think that does to me as a player? That's when you got to go and look at your offensive coordinator as the quarterback, as an offense, middle fingers in the air. And you know what? We need better from you, homeboy. We need better from you. Stop asking better from me. We need better from you. Both sides of the ball. It was gross.
All right, so obviously coaching is an issue. I mean, listen, and I'll tell you what, because, you know, and I'll agree with you. It's not like they came out like against the Clemson game where what Roche lines up off sides on a big 4th down or whatever. Like, you didn't have those shoot yourself in the foot moments. What instead you had was kids that came out and coaches that let them down. 100%. Their coaches let them down in the preparation and the game plan they put together and all of that. So let's talk. I mean, I don't know what about the game you want to talk about.
Tell me some positives. Tell me some positives.
I got them. I got plenty of positives.
Young, yeah. Bryce Young sets a record. Congratulations to him. 344, 4 touchdowns.
Is that new?
Yeah. Well I'm just saying, it's nice when you can start your Alabama career, your first start, and you have now had the most successful start in the history of the program.
That's what we do.
We do this to everybody. Yeah. No matter what your quarterback is, the kiss of death for the University of Miami is, hey, this is a quarterback making his first ever start. Yeah. You know he's going to go off. He's going to look like a Heisman candidate, and then he could taper off and be Alabama's worst quarterback in 15 years.
Who's that dude, O'Brien at Maryland?
We thought guy was going to win the Heisman.
That dude was out of a job and then transferred within 3 games.
Yeah. His career game was against Miami. Yeah.
Look it up. He didn't last like half a season as the starter. He was a Heisman winner.
Positives. Let's go.
Let's go.
Positives?
You know what? As much as you think, though, and there was a couple run gashes, this wasn't North Carolina rush defense. I actually felt, and I'm going to go X's and Rome when I watch this, I think they did a little bit better job in terms of rush defense. I know a couple plays broke. Don't get me wrong. But this was far and away much, much better at the point of attack against North. You got him in the backfield a couple times. I thought Harrison Hunt flashed a couple times. Nesta disappeared. I know we're trying to talk positives.
Non-existent.
You know, obviously Tyreek had 9 tackles, so that was a positive as well. Offensively, the young wide receivers, I mean, Restrepo, it wasn't too big for him. You got James Williams in. Cameron Kitchens looked good. So some of these young guys that got in there, the moment wasn't too big for them. So it was appreciative to see the young guys come in. That was definitely a
absolutely
positive.
I think Kitchens and Williams are, look, they played against Alabama yesterday as true freshmen, first game of the season. They're going to play a lot, and they're going to be exceptional ball players here. There's no question. And I was surprised to see, you know, I thought that, we said Kitchens was going to back up, was on the free safety to back up Bolden. So he was the first one in. Good. He played well. Yeah. And Williams flashed in the second half as well. So the young kids are coming in. I just don't understand the lack of Rose got to go save somebody, I think. Mm-hmm. The lack of ability to get downfield early. You know, I think that was a big concern for me. You started to press it downfield a little bit, and you saw it. So, look, I think there were positives. I do. I think Roe touched on them. I just don't. You know, we'll go back to whatever we said before. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, listen, dude, I put this game on the coaches. I do put it more on the coaches. The fact that Will Mallory only had one target in the first half was just inexcusable. We were talking about the fact that he needed to have 7, 8, 9 catches for, like, you know, they didn't even look at him. They didn't even look at him, guys. I mean, like, I don't understand what the game plan was. I tell you what it was. It was Rhett Lashley we've been talking about in the offseason. Rhett Lashley wants a bellwether running back, a guy that he can lean on and give the ball rock to 20, 25 times. And it looked like he was trying to force that issue from my standpoint. He was trying to force it to happen. And, bro, you can't, like, between the first 3rd and 7 and then that goal line debacle, just fucking, I mean, who do you think you're playing?
Right. I mean, you can't look. They ran it at less than 2.5 yards a clip yesterday.
Which is normal.
25
versus Alabama. That's what's going to happen.
And that's fine. I would stress maybe instead of trying to run it 30 times, maybe 15. Right. Let's try to get a little bit more aggressive in the air, spread them out, and do your thing. And can we put this issue to bed? Can we say now, and we've been clamoring for it, right? Don Chaney's your number one guy. Like, let's stop with the Cameron Harris thing. I like Cameron Harris. I think he's a quality back. But he's not Don Chaney. Can we just go that route now? I mean, it's evident yesterday. It's been evident for 12 months now. No?
I agree. Listen, he's always had this problem, right? Where he just favors the more senior guy when there's a younger, more talented option behind him. It's just what he does. It's in his DNA. So you're asking for the same thing. You're asking for water not to be wet with the guy. He might figure it out. He might figure it out 4 games in, and then Don Chaney's going to take over. Jalen Knighton obviously was on a 1-game suspension. He'll be back for App State. So it is what it is. It is what it is. Ultimately, you know, to kind of double back on Rhett Lashley, I know we're trying to speak on the positives. I did like a couple drives when the tempo was working. You get down. Toast, you mentioned the red zone, but in order for this Miami offense to take the next gear, you're going to have to get better on 3rd down, and you're going to have to get better on the red zone. And this is my advice, okay? This is my advice. You want to take it, you can take it, but this is when that tempo kills you. Going at a fast pace all the time kills you. Right? Especially when you get down there, because let's go down to that goal line opportunity.
I mean, come on.
Don Chaney misses it just barely. You're so content on running a quick play again. You basically run a quarterback draw. You just it's the same play. Instead of running with the halfback, you're just running right up the middle. Because you're so big on tempo, you gift wrapped Alabama the easiest shot to shut you down. Your tempo killed you. Now flip to the other side. The reason why you couldn't get Alabama off the field is because while you got, and I love this quote and I'm borrowing it, while you got two coaching guys on your staff that are just sitting there designing the new turnover chain, which is kind of embarrassing when you're down that big, let's just be honest. That's Alabama has like 17 staffers that know about every single blitz you've sent them for the last 5 years. So on third down, when they're taking their time and you flinch and they know exactly where you're coming from on the blitz, why do you think that
day?
They did it all day, and that's the master class because they like knew where your blitz was coming from, Manny. And then when you get DJ Ivy cooked, watch how look at the blitz that came. Look at exactly how it comes at Alabama, and watch how Alabama just blocks every single guy. Quarterback just finds the natural pocket like he's coached. That's totally coached. And he's looking immediately downfield because they knew where it was going. It was a masterclass. Rhett Lashley, that's why I keep saying it's ego, 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 ego. You're going so fast. It's your DNA. It's ego. Everybody's got you figured out. Slow the hell down, right? Use some of that. When you need to keep your team on the field, you don't run back-to-back quick run plays. It's not fooling anybody. Like, it's the new Mark Richt thing, right? You knew if you came in on third and short with any I formation, it was a fullback dive. You know if Miami lines up after running a short gain and getting stopped and comes back up, what do, boys? They're going to run it again. They're just hoping that hope's not a strategy, especially against the national champions.
And that's
champions.
What really, and I kind of lost my cool on Twitter yesterday. The third and seven, I lost a little bit. But then you run that again. Like, you have to score there. Mm-hmm. That is a must score situation. You take your time and you dial up a play that gives you a better shot than running through the A-gap.
Ego.
With a 5'9 dude.
Ego.
I you're right. That's coaching, man. That's
yep.
But here's
all
the thing.
Of that. I would say a majority of the issues I had yesterday were not on the players.
No, I'd agree with you, but you also have to understand, and for folks saying, oh, we're getting out coached. Listen, we were always going to get out coached by Alabama. They literally have 1,765 former NFL head coaches on staff. Their offensive line coach is a two-time head coach in the NFL. Their offensive coordinator just finished a seven-year run with the Houston Texans. I mean, so it's just like, yes, you're not going to outcoach Alabama. They have coaches that aren't even coaches. They're just analysts
that's
making $500,000 a year. I mean, they're in the back room just going through papers.
Yes, I get it. But I'd appreciate some sort of quality creativity.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me ask
you this. Just show me that you're trying to be creative.
Let me ask you this. Because we've certainly shat on the offense here, and we've taken some shots at Rhett Lashley. We have to look on the other side of the ball. It was his debut as defensive coordinator. Gave up 501 yards. They destroyed us through the air. They ran wherever they wanted to run on us. Let's talk about defensive coordinator Manny Diaz.
Heavily exposed. You know what? Well, I think Roe tweeted this one. All they had to do as far as a game plan was listen to us, or listen to the people who knew what our weaknesses were. Aside from that 94-yarder on Ivy, I mean, they exploited the linebackers on a nauseating basis, right? I mean,
yeah.
most of their stuff was crosses.
Well, now isn't this the blueprint now for everyone else for how to attack
is.
Miami?
A lot of their passing attempts were crosses through the middle of the field, and an exposed. I don't understand why Jennings is on the field as much as he is.
Loyalty,
and I mean they just ate him alive. Really,
that one play in the middle of the field where they just literally picked on him. They basically kind of did like, you know, they came in. It's like an oops route, a stutter route. You just come in.
Yeah,
and
I know it's almost a dig route, but it was deep. It was like a deep.
Yeah,
you know,
and it was. If you don't think that they were trying to attack him because, you know, he's not the fastest foot. He's not the fastest foot. He's not good in coverage. We saw it in the spring game. We saw it all last year. And I mentioned that you go into a roster, and those are some of the holes. Toast.
Well, but we saw that too deep come out, and I made the comment, and folks were quick to just, well, Alabama does it, Clemson does. I'm like, why is there so many oars on this? And when you watched yesterday's game, seriously, tell me how there's an oar with Tyreek Stevenson and Ivy. Tell me how there's an or there between those two guys. How is that an or situation? One can play and one can't.
Yeah.
Wait, is that an or? It's not an or. One's one, one's two. Maybe one's three.
No matter what, and we heard a lot of buzz from people, right? Oh, Ivy's the best cover guy on the team. T-Rob's got him right. No, he's not. Come on, man. That's what I said. All you had to do was pay attention to Kane's Twitter. When they needed to pick on somebody, who did they pick on? I mean, they picked on the two guys that routinely, when you turn on the film, they either have a mental lapse or they just don't get it done or they play a step slow on game day. Listen, Green Tree All-Americans, that's real. These guys could practice great, but when the lights come on, that's when it matters most, and that's who they need to find.
My best tweet yesterday was I'm taking credit for this one. This was my tweet.
Oh, boy.
We're lucky this coaching staff can recruit really well because they coach like shit.
It's like the major league line. You might run like Hayes, but right? You hit like shit.
You're lucky. Thank God they can recruit because they coach like ass.
And they should just go back to what we said a month ago. Run the 407. Get Kitchens. Yeah. Get Williams. Get all the dudes that can cover and can have speed. Play them down in the box a little bit because you have no chance.
Listen.
None.
Listen,
with
though,
this linebacker right. score.
In credit to the defensive secondary, though, and just to a little credit, it's more because they knew coming in that Miami was a blitz-heavy team, especially on third down. They knew where your blitz was coming from. They bought the time in the pocket, and you can't cover. It's a feast or famine style defense. It's just what it's going to do. He tried to come in on that 94-yard touchdown on another big play, the first touchdown of the game that got behind the secondary. These are blitzes. They're getting picked up. The secondary is getting exposed. I mean, that's literally – he put a lot of pressure on his secondary, and the reality is this. The way you recruited cornerbacks the last 3 or 4 years, even that you got Tyreek, they're not that good.
Yes,
they're not that good. They're an average ACC. They're an average ACC secondary at best. Stop with the Ivy is great. He's not. He's not even good, right? Couch, oh, he's flashing. He's still about 170 pounds, and he's getting out physicaled out there. I wish him the best. I think he could be good.
Out physical,
out physical.
Yeah, out physical. You know, it's the Florida State in my ear because I know. Let's get physical, physical.
There she is, Olivia Newton-John. Let me ask you a question.
Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. In regards to the blitz packages and the schemes and the aggressiveness, right? Bryce Young had a problem yesterday when we rushed three. And kept a shell and dropped dudes in coverage. Okay? Look at his stats. Not very good. Why does Manny not recognize that?
Ego. Ego. Scoop. The whole game
Damn
on
it,
the coaches that's
enough
ego.
With the ego shit.
But that's what it is.
That's what it is, bro.
Lashley's pounding, going tempo, trying to pound it, expecting his guys to win on a guy they can't. He runs ego. Manny's going to blitz till he dies, and he died. It's ego. This is what we do.
They're showing you on the field, like real-time feedback that he struggles with eight dudes in coverage.
Listen.
But you consistently give him two.
There was a comment that Lashley made last week after one of the practices where they were talking about the press was trying to goad him into, you know, basically telling them how, you know, dictate how he was going to attack Alabama. And he made the comment of, listen, man, you know, you can come up with a game plan, but it's all about making adjustments. And also it's all about, you know, what are they giving us on this given day and how can we exploit that? And I'm watching that game last night. I'm like, bro, did you listen to yourself talk last week? Because they're not giving you something, and you keep trying to take it from them. Listen to yourself, bro. Go back and listen to your press conference from last week. You didn't even do what you said you were going to do.
Hey, positive, though? Zion Nelson didn't give up a sack, did he?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think the O-line played bad. Again, you're playing Bama. If this O-line...
They gave up 4 sacks.
Okay.
So you go back to a better defensive line. No, I mean you wanted to run a little. Play. You wanted to run a little bit better. They rushed for 87 yards. You know what I'm saying? The rush average obviously was poor. You weren't going to get a lot of push against Alabama. Your offensive coordinator didn't do you any favors. You know, so those were 87 tough rushing yards. It's not like the only creative wrinkle, and I called this for years. I called this all last year. They need to have a quick speed option toss. They need to do a quick speed option. That thing worked. That was the only wrinkle that I saw, and I'm just like, damn it to hell right. I knew that play was going to work. Get them thinking twice instead of obliterating the mesh point behind a line of scrimmage. That got them a first down. But other than that wrinkle, it was pretty vanilla offense. So the offensive line, 4 sacks. Yes, it looks tough. That's a tough sell, man. I mean, those guys are all 5-star dudes. That Allen dude's a
and they're 3-deep. They got 12 guys coming at you. It's not, you know, with fresh legs.
The offensive line will pick up as the season goes. That was, to me, even though it looks bad to me, I would chalk that up into a hesitant positive.
I mean, listen, when you look at the numbers, they ran like basically 20 more plays than us, but you can factor that in because of the 3 turnovers. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know, man.
You know what killed them? You know what killed them, though? This is when the tempo, you know, this is the ego. Rhett Lashley, you got to check at the door. They had about 15 more minutes of possession.
Mm-hmm.
They had 15 minutes of possession because your third downs were so atrocious at a certain point.
Most of that
point,
was the first quarter, to be honest with you.
But at a certain third downs. Point, at a certain point, though, at a certain point, when you can't stay on the field, your third down package is that poor. You can't give Alabama, as great as they are, an extra quarter of football to operate on offensively that you don't have. You're not going to be successful that way. That's when you got to be like, listen, we are a tempo team. We like to push the pace. But unfortunately, sometimes if we can't get into our bag, we got to go ahead and get a little bit more creative because the tempo's not fooling the great defenses. They got you. They know that's the catch 22. You can't get as creative when you're going that fast. I love going fast. You need to do it as a base offense. I'm just saying 20% of the time, slow your ass down. Get a better play call. Stop them. No. We're not running the same play right back into the teeth of the defense. Look at me. We dialed up this play during the week. I think this is going to work. Let's run this play. And he doesn't do it, man. He doesn't do it.
Well, it was a double whammy because the offense can't stay on the field and the defense couldn't get off the field on third down. No. The third down was just the worst goddamn situation to be in all night long. All right, so
10
listen.
For 16. They were 10 for 16.
All right, so now we get we're going to have another test answered by Manny Diaz and his coaching staff.
Don't let him be.
Because now, after, as I was, remember when you laughed at me 2 episodes ago and I said, hey, will Miami be ranked after the Alabama game? Right now, if they are, it'll be like 24-25 if they barely hang in there. We'll see.
Yeah,
but
that's what we thought. Yeah.
So now, this coaching staff has to get this team ready to play in a week to go up against a good App State team that's coming in here, home opener. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This coaching staff hasn't done well in this sort of a situation over the first 3 years. What are we expecting on Saturday? What are we expecting to see when they come out of the smoke at the start of that game? Are they ready to play or no?
Yes.
So, and we're jumping the gun a little bit because obviously we're going to touch on App State during our weekly show. But this is without question, the most important game in Manny Diaz's career. Bar none. Because, as Roe said, don't let Bama beat you twice.
Right.
As I preached to you 6 months ago, we expect to lose Bama. That's okay. Right? Don't lay everything out on the field. I mean, I know, rah, rah, rah. Stop it. You need to focus on what's important. That game, not important. This game, vitally important. Because it shows whether you can bounce back from a game that no one expected you to win. Get your heads on straight. Can the coaches get these kids up? Can you come out? I feel like a broken fucking record.
Right?
Can you come out and not be flat in an important game? Can you? Will you? Are you able to do it? I think they are. But my goodness, if they don't win this next one, we're in trouble.
I have good feelings about this game simply because when you play Alabama, the physicality that they have, just the speed that they put on the table, Miami's going to come in playing App State. No offense to App State. It's going to be like the shackles are off. It's like, holy cow, I'm not going up against a future first rounder now. And App State, to all your credit, you're a good team. I'm not taking any credit away from you. It's not like you're lining up a bunch of NFL talent. Now, you're going to be well coached. They're going to have a system. They're going to be problematic. They're going to probably score some points. They probably learned some things from Bama. I get you. I get that. I think the offense is going to have a little bit more free reign. I think that 266 total yards versus Alabama is probably going to get – we're going to probably be more in the 450 to 500 range against App State. They just – they don't have the talent Alabama does. Nobody does. I think the shackles are off. I think Miami responds. I'm definitely going to pick Miami to win this game, and we'll definitely cover that more coming up this week.
All right, so before we wrap this thing up, let's look elsewhere around what happened yesterday. So while we did get rolled, there was some things that make Kane fans feel a little bit better. North Carolina lost to Virginia Tech. Then you had Kosi gave it his best shot. Willie Taggart gave it their best shot yesterday, but they lose to the Gators 35-14. And tonight we get to find out how fraudulent. God, FSU better lose to Notre Dame, guys, because if FSU beats Notre Dame after what happened yesterday, I'm not going on social media.
And then Clemson only manages 3 points.
I know.
If you would have told me we only would have scored 13 points, I was like, been like, yeah, okay, that's believable. That's believable. You know, we're only going to score 13 points, Alabama. I don't want that to happen, but that's believable. And then to say, though, with our 13 points, we'd still be tied with the amount of points scored by Clemson and North Carolina in their first respective games, I would have thought you were on crack. But the fact that Clemson only scored 3 points. Now, this just means that, you know, Georgia's probably going to play Alabama in a national championship this year, and Alabama's going to win 31-10. That's all that means this year. I mean, they got a good enough defense to keep Alabama less than 35.
I've seen that Clemson quarterback previously. Legit, when I saw him, I mean, that dog defense made him look inept.
Yeah, that's what.
Holy crap, huh?
That's about as most of an extension of an Alabama is Kirby Smart and his defense when it's right. That's Alabama-esque because that's
the
he's.
Dude, this is the year Georgia's got to get over the hump. This is Kirby's year. Yeah. This team's got to get over the hump for him. He's got to beat Alabama.
Still don't think he's going to have the offense to beat Alabama. I just don't think it's happening.
No,
we went 1-1 with our beating the bookie. Texas Tech did cover big, but Oregon, I'm telling you, man, he's a fat Manny Diaz, Mario Cristobal. He's a fat Manny Diaz. That's it.
So that over, there were four, listen to this, there were four field goals kicked inside the 10. I mean.
Brutal.
It was a good call on that bet, four field goals kicked inside the 10, you're not going over. Tough. But 1-1. Right. 1-1. That's fine.
Speaking of field goals, Borgalis, little one, comes in 2-2. And that's a positive.
He drilled that first one. He drilled that first one. No worries.
I'm good. I'm ready for him to win a game now.
Exactly. Yeah. More than one. Hey, UCLA.
Ooh. UCLA, the fighting Chip Kelly's are good.
I think they might be Pac-12 contenders.
38. They put up 38 on LSU.
It depends. LSU, it might be the year that Scoop's prediction, his yearly prediction of LSU is not very good. This might be the year that LSU is not very good. Well,
They weren't very good last year either. Max Johnson needs to work on his accuracy. I mean.
Yeah.
Woof.
Woof.
Woof. Wow, really? Because he comes with a pretty good pedigree. Brad Johnson is his throw. Dad.
I mean, his uncle. Making the right decisions.
Okay.
But holy hell, is he inaccurate.
Oh, wow.
All those balls are catchable. They're in the wrong place. I was like, wow. Okay.
All right. So let's we'll leave you on this note. Listen, I understand. We understand that yesterday was difficult to watch. It was like going in for a fucking colonoscopy and they forget the sedative. It was just not enjoyable. It was a dental appointment. It was not enjoyable.
Exploratory surgery.
But it was the most meaningless game on the schedule in terms of what this season has to offer for this team and for these kids. So, put it behind you. It sucked. We didn't get the – it didn't answer questions that we've had lingering for a couple of years, and that's unfortunate. We didn't get some answers on the coaching staff that we would have wanted, but whatever. It is what it is. Let's focus on App State and turning this thing around and saving this. I don't want – this can't turn into 7-5, bro. It can't turn into 7-5. Don't let it happen.
No. And look, and there's a lot of people saying that that App State game is meaningless too because it's not in the conference. Mm-mm. Nonsense. Most important game in Manny's career. Because it shows, is he capable of this? Right? I mean, technically, it's meaningless. For the quality and strength of the base of this program, it's everything to them.
Well, and then because you got Michigan State, who didn't look bad.
Yeah, I forgot about Michigan State, too.
Didn't look
God
bad.
Almighty, oh my right? God, don't go
didn't look bad.
Oh, go 0-3. Okay. All right. Okay. I got other things to do today.
All right, guys.
That freaked me out right there, to be honest with you. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Ro, any final thoughts?
No. I don't.
Okay, good.
We'll see you.
Listen.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Enjoy your Labor Day tomorrow.
Happy Labor Day.
Yeah.
Enjoy your holiday tomorrow.
We will drop another episode on Thursday or Friday this week, getting ready for App State. And then we'll have another recap next weekend. So enjoy your day. Enjoy the family.
Ro,
put this one
what day are we
you.
Doing this week?
What day are we doing? What? The regular shows this week?
Wednesday or Thursday for you?
It's going to be Thursday.
It'll be Thursday.
So we'll drop Friday.
So it'll drop Friday. App State next Saturday night. Night game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Not many places better to be than Hard Rock at night.
Exactly. So have a great day. Make it a good day. Put this one behind you. Enjoy the family. Have a good day today. Good day tomorrow. We'll see you next week. As always, go Canes!
Help!
No. Yes.
That's another episode in the books. The Orange Bowl Boys are brought to you by Ed Morse Automotive Group. Visit edmorse.com. Want some extra Orange Bowl boys? Then join Club OBB and become a premium member. Get reserved seating for live events. Get access to the private Discord chat. Plus, watch live streams of episodes as they record. Join now by going to patreon.com/Orange Bowl Boys. Club OBB. No Gators or Seminoles allowed.